We'll open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah in chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I'll give you something to do while I'm reading this chapter. Count up every shall that is in this chapter. Every word that you see that is S-H-A-L-L, count it and see how many there is in this chapter. Because this is an interesting chapter. It is about the Davidic kingdom to be restored by Christ, and gives the character and extent of that kingdom. And so it is a chapter which has a lot of shalls in it. God shall do this. God shall do that. And it's kind of interesting to see how many shalls there is in the scripture. And of course, we have to love the shalls of God's word. They are those things which are somewhat very clear to us and definite to us. For he shall do this. And so we'd like to read this chapter and take note of those as we go through, see what you come up with. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall understand, an ensign of the peoples. To him shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams to make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Assyria, as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon, and ask, Lord, that you would bless your word to our hearts, that in great hope and in anticipation we may recognize of that kingdom which is to come, which you have spoken of in your word, where Jesus shall rule and reign in righteousness, and that the people of God shall have a kingdom wherein they can dwell in peace, and that there will be no violence, but truly the ensign of the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up, and that all peoples should enjoy the pleasant nature of that kingdom and of that time that should be the rule of Christ. And so we thank you, Father, for your word to us, and ask your blessing this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, how many shalls did you find? Anybody? 38, okay.
I had zero.
Well, in the King James, I counted 41.
That's what I counted.
Yeah. But the different translation came up with a couple less. That's okay. Yet we realize that this is a very interesting chapter, to say the least, isn't it? When we think of that Davidic kingdom that is to come, and the promise of God's word that he shall do these things according to his word. And so we find here some interesting things to consider this afternoon. The future Davidic kingdom, the branch shall grow out of his roots. The branch shall grow out of his roots. And we see that in verse 1 of chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And so we're reminded here of the root of Jesse, and of that line of David, and of the promise of the coming Messiah. And not only the promise of his coming, but the promise of that kingdom that should be in the very name of that Davidic line. And so we find that it begins with this promise, that there shall be a branch grow out of his roots, out of his roots, out of the root of David, or the stem of Jesse, as it is spoken of here. And so we find that this Davidic kingdom is to be restored by Christ, and it reveals in this chapter the character and the extent of that kingdom. Some things we would like to point out as we move along through this chapter. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We see that in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, when we see these things being spoken of in the Scripture, and prophetically so, we know that they relate to Jesus Christ as he is the Messiah of God, the anointed one of Israel. And that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Perhaps we are reminded of the incident wherein John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan, and how that Jesus came unto him, and John thought it that he was unworthy to baptize Christ. But we find that Jesus insisted that he also be baptized because he must fulfill all righteousness. And then we find that the heavens opened and the Father spoke out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God descended upon him as like unto a dove. And so we find that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And especially in that day when the Lord himself shall establish his own kingdom, that the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might and of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord should be upon him. That is, there is nothing lacking in this kingdom that should be established. You may think of the kingdom of David and how that he had a heart for God and sought after God with all his heart. We may be reminded that Solomon came in the line of that same kingdom, but that there would come one who was greater than Solomon in wisdom and in understanding and in the fear of the Lord and of all those attributes that would relate to the eternal kingdom of God. And that person that should bear all these attributes, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And it is a future kingdom that we shall see that will be established, one that is of God and not of man. As kingdoms of men rise and fall, this kingdom will be an eternal kingdom. As kingdoms of this world are flawed by the leaders who are over them, there will be no flaw in this one who shall, with his own ensign, establish the rule of that kingdom, that he shall rule in righteousness and judge in righteousness. Which takes us to the next thought here to bring out, and that is, the Lord shall judge in righteousness. Look at verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Perhaps we are reminded of the book of Revelation, where Jesus comes in righteousness as he returns to the earth to set in order all things that are amiss, and that he comes and out of his mouth proceedeth a two-edged sword, and he is described as one who comes to rule in righteousness and to judge in righteousness, to judge the nations of the earth that he may establish a nation that is a nation truly under God, and that Christ himself shall rule and reign. The Lord shall judge in righteousness, as it says in verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. The righteous judge of this kingdom shall not look on the external, but the heart of man. As God himself is righteous and knows the thoughts and the intents of the hearts, so does God judge according to his word, that his word is like a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God is able to judge as man cannot judge. Today we find that men judge according to their best understanding, but they cannot look into the heart. And so they stand before a judge of this world, and many times there is misjudgment, not righteous judgment. Man is corrupted in his own way, and often the judgment man meters out does not fit accurately the crime. And then man is tainted by his own sin and his own misjudgment and his own understanding or his own wisdom. And if he have not the fear of God, then proper judgment is not metered. But in that day when Christ should come, in that day when his kingdom should be established, there will be no misunderstanding. There will be no misjudgment. There will be no lack of wisdom. There will be righteous judgment that will be given. And he who is righteous shall judge righteously. Thirdly, in this chapter, in verses 5 through 10, he shall rule in righteousness, faithfulness, and peace. Further characteristic of this king and this kingdom is that he is without flaw or fault in all of his many deportments, in all of those many areas of which the king and the kingdom is to rule. It is a kingdom of righteousness. And so in verses 5 through 10, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his waist. Righteousness and faithfulness, these two twins that stand together and ought always to loom over judgment, will be completely fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, in righteousness and in faithfulness. Where man is unrighteous, Jesus Christ is righteous. Where man is unfaithful, Jesus Christ is faithful. In all his ways, he has proved himself as that faithful Savior, that the psalmist himself says that he will make the nations of the world his footstool, and he shall rule over them in righteousness and in faithfulness. And so his girdle about his waist is righteousness and faithfulness. In verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Here we find that the animal kingdom, which is given to the fall as much as man is given to the fall and the curse of the fall, we find is affected by that kingdom wherein there is no violence. The animals themselves are no longer adversaries one toward another, but rather they are at peace one with the other. We might say that it has become an Edenic kingdom, a Davidic kingdom, but likened unto Eden, wherein the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and the leopard with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling and the little child shall lead them. As the innocence of that kingdom shall prove itself to be without violence and without crime, and that the as much as the people or the inhabitants of that kingdom should dwell at peace, so shall all those animals which inhabit that kingdom shall also be at peace one with the other. In verse 8, the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand for an ensign of the peoples. To him shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And so again, that picture is one wherein rule in righteousness and faithfulness and peace is crowned in that day, and that that day should be a day of great calmness, in that God himself shall rule and reign over the inhabitants of that kingdom. It is a glorious view that we have here of the Davidic kingdom and the restoration of that kingdom which God meant for man to have, and truly that Christ himself shall be that root of Jesse, or that line of David, and of that peace and contentment to that kingdom which God shall establish. And there shall be rest to the nations, and it shall be glorious. How Christ will set up his kingdom? Well, we know that just as Christ shall rule in righteousness and faithfulness and in peace, we find that by his own means shall he recover his people. Prophetically, we find that in verses 11 through 16, there are some very strong observations given to us of the recovery of that remnant people. And so we see in verse 11 that he shall recover the remnant, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the coastlands of the sea. As scripture always, or in many cases, shows a near and a far fulfillment, we find that this prophecy, of course, is going to be fulfilled over a period of time. And just as after the captivity, God did recover some of the remnant people and brought them back into the land of Judah, yet we find that the nation of Israel itself never fully recovered in to the same glorious extent that it had under the rule of David. But we find the future Davidic kingdom shall recover the remnant fully, and it shall have that glorious view of the Davidic kingdom. And so we find that even today, that since 1948, there has been a great resurgence of the return or the recovery of the remnant people back to Israel again. And it is an ongoing recovery. It is still going on even as we speak today. that Jews are returning to their homeland. That little country along the Mediterranean coast is a hotly contested piece of real estate. There is no piece of real estate in the world which is so precious in the eyes of God. And so we should not wonder that the enemies of God want to obtain it for themselves, that they might have the glory of it for their own kingdom. And who might reign as the king of the enemies of God except Satan himself? He has been from the very beginning an adversary of God's will and God's plan and God's purpose. And so we find that the war continues, and especially the conflict between God's people and the enemies of God. And is it any wonder that we find so much of this adversarial climate focused within the Middle East, for that very reason that it is the most prized possession of God, God's people and God's land, because God shall recover them. God shall establish his kingdom. God's king shall rule over the land and over the people, and all nations of the earth shall come unto her. And this is the design of God. The church of Jesus Christ during this church age, no doubt, is in view. We are a part of God's plan, but we should not forget that God still has a covenant people and that he means to recover them. In verse 13, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Of course, Judah is Jerusalem, Ephraim is Samaria, and of those 10 tribes that were in the north. And the kingdom is still divided. Historically, it was divided after the time of Solomon, and even today, it is not completely healed. But yet one day, there will be a complete healing of the nations. And we find that God shall establish that remnant people and shall recover them, and the adversaries which have long fought against one another will at last be at peace with one another under the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ and of that Davidic kingdom that should come to pass. And then lastly in the chapter, the remnant shall return and inhabit the land. The remnant shall return and inhabit the land. In verse 14, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Assyria as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Now we know historically the remnant did return out of Assyria back to Israel, back to Judah, Jerusalem. Yet we find that there will come also a day when prophetically the nation should once again come back to the original borders of which God gave unto Abraham under the Abrahamic covenant, from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. That whole parcel of land will be under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ during this Davidic reign. And it is the promise of God that he should return the remnant to the land, that they should be the inhabitants of it, and that the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, should at last be defeated, and the borders should be well established, and that God shall rule and reign over his people. And that this kingdom is a kingdom that shall be established in righteousness and true holiness. It is the view of the kingdom of God, the millennial kingdom, if you will, as the branch grows out of his roots, and the Lord shall establish by his own word all that he has promised unto the people of God. Of course, there is much more that can be said about this kingdom. Suffice it to say that we have here a summary, if you will, of that future day and time, and of that king that should rule in righteousness and true holiness, that the Spirit of the Lord should be upon him, that he should be a Lord and a judge that judges righteously, that he should in righteousness and in faithfulness be that King of kings and Lord of lords, that he shall recover his people out of the four corners of the earth, that the adversaries of God should at last be put under his feet, and that the remnant of God shall return, that the citizens of heaven may dwell at peace with God. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?